And darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time in his hands, beginning to the end, beginning at the end. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great, how great.
That's all I'm saying. We'll change over the service, amen.
Glory. Appreciate that, sis. Amen. He is a great God. Thank you for his grace, amen. And his healing atonement. And much, much more.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing.
I am lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. You love him tonight. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Turn around and give somebody a fist bump. We haven't done that in a while. Richard, you need anything? They're laying on the pulpit. Yeah, okay. Josh may have laid them up there. I don't know. Yep, fist bump. Fist bump. That's the new norm, I guess. If you call that normal, that's the new norm. Good to be in the house of the Lord in the middle of the week. Good to see all the smiling faces. Well, part of them. Smiling eyes. Smiling eyes. And good to be here. We did not make the trip, you know, to Kentucky, so it was a good thing we didn't. We'd still be there making snowmen. But glad to get Luis and Christine and the girls back. Good to get Bob and Monica and the girls and gentlemen back. So good to have everybody back here where you're supposed to be. Amen. By way of announcements, next Sunday now we're going to take communion. Sunday service after second service on Sunday, we'll be taking regular communion, not foot washing yet. Maybe a little while longer. Also, please remember Brother Homer Longora. I know we announced it Sunday, but he is, the doctors are going to try to send him home and let him do his treatments at home. They didn't say what it was. It just said he had a real bad trouble, had trouble breathing. And remember, he still has that cyst on his kidneys or wherever it is. So we're just going to pray that that will go away. While we're praying for that, might as well send, when we send the healing angel by, may as well let him heal it all. Amen. Get everything while he's there. Amen? Amen? Amen. While he's there, let him heal them all. Amen. And also remember, too, that March the 14th, I'll be at Brother Horst Schley's in Panama City. And June and I will be down a few days for a little R&R. And that will be Sunday that the time changes. So just remember that. Mark it on your calendar. March the 14th, time will change. So just remember that. Please do. And hopefully, if they pass it in the House and Senate in the state of Georgia by July, we won't have to ever change our clock again. They're pushing legislation that we do not go into that, whatever that is, in November. This is daylight savings time, right? Coming up. So whatever the other one is, we won't have it anymore. So I never did like it very much anyway. Keep the time the way it is. Amen. All right, so let's go to Hebrews 9:11, and we will just background for a few minutes. I know you got your papers in your hand. We're going to start on the dimensions. Now, just before we get started, when you look at those charts that come from, and we'll give you quotes to back that up. Brother Joe's give it to us. Brother Dale preached on it several years ago. And, that's your seven dimensions on that chart there. And thank God for a prophet, because if you go online and try to find all them in verbatim like he talked about them, you ain't gonna find them. They're going to talk about different things, but it's not going to lay it out like Brother Ram laid it out, because the world doesn't know the fifth dimension. The world doesn't know the fifth dimension is where the unbelievers go. My Lord, in this day and time, there is no fifth dimension. Everybody's going to heaven, they said. So, but we're going to have to cover them a little bit. Now, remember, before time started, it was all in a state of eternity. It was, their youth was being renewed. Adam and Eve was eaten off the tree of life, and that's the way it should have been, and they would have come to eternal life in their body sooner or later. Amen?
Amen.
And God was able to walk through this dimension and not worry about it. So to me, there was not any dimensions until sin happened. Then we're going to see where the prophet said time came into being. After the fall. All right. So, the time, the light, and the matter, and then you got see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now, Adam and Eve were put in see, taste, feel, smell, and hear before the fall to contact their earthly home, because they could eat, they could breathe, they could talk, they could see, they could smell, but they lived in perfect faith, because they didn't have to have faith. Like, we have to have faith. We have to have faith for healing, right? We have to have faith for the atonement, right? They didn't have to. Amen? But now, when the fall happened, everything slowed down, got put back into time. God had to make these dimensions, because all of a sudden you got Abel being killed. Well, Abel got to go somewhere. He can't stay here. He can't go in the fourth dimension. He can't go in the fifth dimension. He can't go in the seventh dimension. So he's got to go somewhere to wait a time for all things to be brought back together. And we'll look at that with our bigger chart that we got, where it says Adam to the future home. And they're laying around here somewhere. So I believe, though, that Adam and Eve lived in, I believe it was the seventh dimension. All of them were together. That's just what I believe, because they could move in and out anywhere they wanted to. I believe they could see angels. I believe they could see, because there was no other dimension to me, because God, Brother Brown said, God came down in the cool of the day and talked to Adam and Eve, you know, face to face. All right. Now remember, he also did that to Moses, but he didn't do it to Moses like he did to Adam. Everybody got that? Because Moses wasn't the son of God. Adam was. He was looking at, God was looking at his progeny. Now he was looking at Moses as his prophet and Abraham as his friend, but not as a Genesis 1:26 person, because that had to be withheld until Jesus Christ came himself and brought that with him. So just keep that in your mind, but we're going to background just for a minute. So let's go back to Hebrews 9. Verse 11, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening that you give us, the middle of the week, that we can be re-energized and recharged from all the daily grind that we go through, Lord. We know you're there with us, but sometimes it feels like the world's just closing in on us. But Father, you said you would be there. You said you wouldn't leave us or you wouldn't forsake us. You'd not put on us any more than we can stand. So, Father, I pray that you would just open our eyes, give us the eye salve so that we can see you, Lord, see the time that we're living in, and that we all are part of this great eternal plan that you thought in your mind before the foundation of the world, and it has not changed since. Lord, we just got to make sure that we're a part of it, that we connect ourselves to the eternal plan. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one that's sick. Brother Homer Longora, we call his name, Lord, every night because he needs prayer. Lord, we talked to Brother Claude yesterday. He needs prayer also, Lord. He's doing better, but they're out there in 17 below zero weather, and we know how that is, Lord. It's a horrible time for all those people. We pray that you just protect each one. Give each one traveling mercies. Thank you for bringing our brothers back home, Lord, safe. And we pray now that you'd be with each one. Take care of us on the rest of the week coming up, Lord, and as we come to take communion, may we clean ourselves up, Lord, and sanctify ourselves for this journey. We know we can't do it, but we know the one that can, Lord. You're the sanctifier. Because of the washing of the water of the Word, we can be sanctified, Father. We ask, Lord, that you bless our pastor, keep him strong. Be with Brother Kern, Lord, and bless him. Raise him up, Lord. Touch him, Lord, as he's, I'm sure, watching in now, Lord. I pray that you'd give him supernatural strength, because our natural strength is not any good. But, Lord, when you break through it, that sound barrier, as the prophet said, and come into this dimension, Lord, there's a noise. It's a noise of healing and the noise of your saints raising their hand and saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Father, we pray that you'd be with us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Brother Dale's been on Hebrews 10:5 on that for a while. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And we thank you again for for all the prayers. We pray for each other. We are praying daily for each other. That's right. Get somebody on your heart. Call their name. Right. Yep. If you have to, call it again. Right. God's not deaf, but it's good repetition. Yes, to be able to call a brother and sister's name, and you may be the one that breaks through. Amen? So let's go to quote number one. It's one we've been reading, and we're going to keep reading it because it's worthy of reading. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, was supposed to be written before Moses wrote Genesis, but the oldest book in the Bible was speaking of redemption. And yet redemption must far be way before that. Redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. Did you know redemption was even before the plan of redemption was laid out, before the world was ever formed? So before the dimension started, before sin happened, before there was an earth, before there was time, light, and matter, there was eternal redemption. There was something going on in the mind of God, and he was only going to unfold it completely down here in the end time. Right. Amen. He laid it out in little pieces all down during the church ages and all down in, even in the Old Testament, he was showing types and shadows and types and shadows. But remember, a type has to have a reality to it. And a shadow has to have a reality to it. There has to be a book before there can be a shadow. Before you see that shadow, there's got to be this real book. So Brother Brown said that the Old Testament was types and shadows. Shadows meaning it had to have something real. Well, God was the only one that at that time had eternal life in the Old Testament. Does everybody understand that? When sin happened in the Garden of Eden, Adam could not produce another son of God or a daughter of God the way God wanted them produced because the womb of their mind was messed up. Amen? So God had to take that ability or take that book back from Adam. The title deed, Brother Branham calls it. What's the title deed? It's something written down. It's something that's given to somebody. Amen? So the title deed then was written, though, Brother John, before the foundation of the world. This is yours! Amen. Before the foundation of the world. But you don't know that yet. All of it. You didn't know it when you was out in the world of sin, but you know what? There it was. See, there it was for you. So God foreseeing, always foreknowledge, and making a way of redemption. Now, a way of redemption means we got lost, and God had to make a way back. Because man can't make a way back. We cannot redeem. See, Boaz could redeem Naomi and show a beautiful type, but Boaz couldn't redeem Boaz. Boaz needed a redeemer. That's why they all made sacrifices, which covered or capoed their sin until Christ, the main sacrifice, come, being an high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle. What? His body. And then inside that body of Jesus Christ was a soul that could not just have to go into a dimension and stay there. See, that was Adam's problem. Adam, when Adam died, he went into the dimension. He couldn't help nobody.
Right.
But God, when he died, as Jesus Christ, when the body died, he stepped over in another dimension, went to preach to the souls in prison, picked up the people in paradise, took them to heaven, come back down on the day of Pentecost. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can move between those dimensions. He's the only one that can do that. And he's moving through them to get to you.
Amen.
So to me, looking at these dimensions, it's really interesting as we get a little bit closer to that sixth dimension, which is where the believers go when they pass away. So we'll get to that, though, maybe before Easter. We'll try to get to it. But look, for the Bible plainly says that Christ was predestinated, foreordained, and was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, according to what? Revelation 13:8. Kind of something when it's Revelation 13:8. In Hebrews 13:8. Yeah. Okay. Slain before the foundation of the world. That's right. Way before the world was made, God had a plan of redemption. Now remember, that plan could not change. When God thought it, it was perfect. Can't change. You can't change nothing. And it's like Brother Dale said, and I've always said, you say, well, I can't understand this. Listen, this is the only way you can understand God, or he would have wrote it different.
Right.
He'd have sent a different prophet. He'd have sent a different Brother Dale.
Right.
He'd have sent you another pastor.
Right.
He sent you everything you need.
Amen.
You know what the problem is?
Come on,
yeah. Come on. I just don't understand. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got to understand.
That's right.
So if you're not understanding, pray for the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
Don't pray for an emotion. Pray for the Holy Ghost. Pray for the Holy Ghost, and he's going to have to lead you and guide you into all truth because he promised. Then you can take him. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you take him to the Word.
Right.
You say, God, I don't understand this, but if you're inside me, you got to explain this.
Right.
You got to put some preacher, some brother, some sister in my way.
Come on.
Problem is that sometimes we get in the way. When God wants to put somebody in the way, we get in the way. But I hope that's what you're seeing. It's not just times and all these charts and things that we're doing. This is redemption. This is just a simple plan that was before the foundation of the world. It's just that you and I have a way to navigate through it now and not have any, like Brother Branham said, not to make a new doctrine, but to straighten out old doctrine that you are sealed if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot be lost. If is a big old word. If you have eternal life tonight, that eternal life always was eternal. We'll get to that. Titus 1 verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. We need preaching. We need a fivefold ministry. One man cannot fulfill that fivefold ministry now. Reason I said that, now Brother Bram did fulfill the fivefold ministry when he was alive and preaching. Remember, the angel said, do the work of an evangelist. He did the work as a pastor. He did the work obviously he was a prophet. But he wasn't that kind of prophet. He was above that prophet. He was a seventh church age messenger prophet. He was a prophet to bring one specific message. Now, if we got prophets in the fivefold ministry now, they don't bring one specific message. They're for the people. To help the people. To discern. And I believe we got them. We just got to let them work. But this was promised before the world began through preaching. This is the way it's going to have to. Listen, you can press play all you want to, but it's going to take a prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle. It's going to take all those to perfect you. Right. You might listen to the prophet of God all your days of your life and die and go to hell. Right. Didn't Caiaphas stand up and say, we have Moses' message? In other words, if it was a tape recorder of Moses' preaching, Caiaphas would have said, we got Moses' preaching. We be Abraham's children. You know what Jesus looked at him and said? The Word looked at him. The Word looked at that and said, you're dead. You got a different daddy than I do. Wow. That's those two spirits. And they'll hate you. Oh my goodness. Brother Claude and I were talking about it last night. You know, the two spirits, one's gonna hate the other one. Not just not dislike them. One's gonna hate the other one. So let's go to Ephesians 1. This to me sums up the whole thing. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and Lula, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father. Sounds like he's a Trinitarian, doesn't he? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. See, he can speak that. The world can think that, but in his mind never was a Trinity.
Right.
But that's the way God hid it. From the wise and prudent, and revealed it to babes such as would learn, like you and I. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Already, before the foundation of the world. Having predestinated by what? Foreknowledge. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children. See, he can predestinate down a line because he knows that line you're going down. And not make you go down that line. Remember, the prophet of God said, God didn't put you through a little hole and pull you through a tube. No, it's your choice.
Right.
Wasn't Moses stand up one day and he said, choose you this day who you'll serve.
Right.
He was telling the people of God that.
Right.
Choose you this day who you'll serve. All right, so they had to make a choice, so to me and you. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. What is his will? His will is his word. All right? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The only way we're accepted is through him. We're not accepted in any other thing. We're not accepted in our own works and our goodness and our own, you know, I've been in the message 50 years. So what?
Exactly.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded. I like that word. Heaped it up on us, toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now here, he's going to tell you, he's going to make known to you the mystery of the will of God.
Amen.
All right? according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Because remember, we're working right now under permissive will. I hadn't really got on to that, but we are. This is permitted. This is permitted power that Satan has. This is a permitted life that God's give you because your mom and daddy brought it here totally different than God wanted you to come. But he, by a new birth, he has brought you to himself. Amen. Chosen you in him before the foundation of the world. Having made known unto us what? Us that mystery of where we come from, what we're doing here, and where we're going. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What was he purpose? Why did he purpose it in himself? Because he can't. Listen, he has entrusted, sure, he has entrusted me and you to take this to the end time. But he didn't trust nobody when he stood and he said, I'll do it. Remember, the Bible said when he couldn't swear by no other, he swore by himself that he was going to do this plan of redemption. And you know what? If he's eternal and perfect and cannot make a mistake. But all we got to do, Brother Luis, is connect ourselves to that. According to his good pleasure, which is purpose in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, like right now, he might gather together in one. In other words, tie up those loose ends. That's what he's saying. He might gather together what? Well, if he had to gather it together, it got pulled apart somewhere. He's gathering it together, all things in what? In Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We weren't just come down here with a silver spoon in our mouth, people. I don't care what nobody says. The Bible says you was born in sin, shaping in iniquity, a spouse from your mother's womb, a liar. Doomed and on your way to hell. Put about four scriptures together, okay? There's none good. No, not one. Jesus even looked at that brother that was talking to him and he said, I'm not worthy. I'm not good. Now what? In his humanity. Sure, Jesus made mistakes as a human. He didn't make mistakes when he spoke the word of God though, because he was the word of God. Amen. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who foresaw, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In other words, he wrote the Bible. He saw what was going to happen. He wrote the Bible and then he sent it down to us so it can't go wrong. There's no way it can go wrong. And I'm, again, like Brother Dale, quit questioning why God did it this way. It's the only way we're going to be able to understand. How would you think? Jesus stood one day and he said, why me a father? If my child asks for bread, give him a rock. Or ask for this and I give him a serpent. So why would God send his word to confuse his children? He's not going to send his word to confuse you. Maybe you're not a child if you're confused. We just got to let the rubber hit the road, okay? I feel a lot more like Brother Dale. I used to look cross-eyed at him every once in a while when he said, I wished I could make you realize you were lost. Because you know what? If you realize you're lost, you can do something about it. If you think you're saved, nobody can help you except God. Amen? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let's read Christ the Mystery. I kind of condensed these just a little bit so we could... We could kind of hurry through this. Christ the mystery of God. Now back in the back part of God's mind. So that's where the prophet of God went. He went into the back part of God's mind. How did he do that? He did it by the opening of the seals. The seals opened and he could see further than he'd ever seen. Remember, he was a prophet. He was the eagle. He was the one that came up the highest. And he could see all four directions, but you know what he done? He didn't say, okay, you can't have this. No, even in the vision, Brother Branham, remember the vision where Brother Branham leaves? Somebody was covering it the other day and said, look on this. Look. Yeah. Stay right here and look on this. In other words, look on these 1,100 tapes. Right. If I go away, I'm going to go away, but you look on this right here. And you know what did they do? They did just like the children of Israel did. They said, yes, Brother Branham, we'll do that. No problem, we'll do that. And then when he died, they scattered like the wind. And never understood. They never stayed there and looked. But you know what? You and I were purposed to do that. Stand here and look on this. What? The full opening of the book. In the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. In other words, to be a father, to be a son, to be a healer, to be a savior, to be a redeemer, to be all those great attributes. Just like you and I as men and women, we long to have children or we long to have this or that or the other. Well, that longing is inside of you. Because you're born in the image of God. I don't care. Adolf Hitler was born in the image of God. He was a human being. But by choice, he decided not to do that. He decided to yield himself to that other spirit. And you see what happened. So now let's go to Genesis 1:26. And Richard said, are you not going to put the scripture up there? I said, I think I can quote it without putting it up there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. That's all you need to know. So God created a being. He brought something to the forefront. And remember, we were talking about that was every born again believer. Yeah. Does everybody understand that? Genesis 1:26 is not every human being. It's not Moses. It's not Elijah. Right. It's not the great prophets in the Old Testament. Not even John the Baptist. Right. You say, oh no, he got the Holy Ghost. He might have got the Holy Ghost, but he didn't get the new birth. Right. Right. He might have got an anointing because he was a prophet. You know why? Because Jesus looked at him and he said, the least in the kingdom. Right. What is the kingdom? There's your kingdom.
Right.
That the kingdom is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In your soul, the new birth.
Right.
Not just an anointing.
Right. Amen.
And he looked at that person, he said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. John preached the kingdom. John saw the kingdom standing there.
Right.
But it was not his time. The testator had to die.
Right.
You looked in John 5, I believe it is, it says the Holy Ghost had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. In other words, Jesus had not been put on the cross to release that life. He couldn't release that life under blood of bulls and goats. It was only that life of the blood of bulls and goats. I hope you understand that because it really will help you in redemption. Now when Jesus died on the cross, he put both hands this way, New Testament and Old Testament. He pulled those Old Testament saints in. But they're not going to be in that city as bride. Bride is only those that are lost. And then God, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, takes that cuckoo-burr nature out of you and puts that wheat nature in. Only God can do that.
Right.
He didn't do that for Moses. He didn't do that for Aaron. He didn't do that for all the ones in the Old Testament.
Right.
They all had flaws.
Right.
I think today, how in the world could he take somebody like Rahab the harlot and bring something through it? But he did. Because he's the only one who can clean it up.
Right.
But there's your types and shadows. Don't let us try to go marry a prostitute.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
We know better.
Right.
We've been born again.
Right.
David would not have had his best friend killed if he'd have been born again because that nature of the old David was
right.
still in there. And if the nature of God was in there, David wouldn't do that.
Right.
Same way me and you. We don't do the things we used to do, I hope.
Right.
Amen? So by foreknowledge, God knew all these things. And foreknowledge is what? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Right.
Many are called, but few are chosen, though.
Right.
A lot of people are called, but he's talking about right here, these are called according to his purpose,
right.
for whom he did foreknow,
right.
back part of God's mind,
right.
those he foreknew, he did see or predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Why? Because he saw what we would do and wrote this thing right here for us.
Right.
You'll never get born again. You'll never be a child of God till you see yourself in the Word.
Right.
If you can't see yourself in the Word tonight, you can't be a child of God. Something has got to resonate in this Bible.
Right.
That's me.
Amen.
That's for me.
Right.
And I don't, even if it's a type or a shadow. We were all Rahab.
Right.
We had many husbands. We were a woman at the well.
Right.
But he knew we would want this. As Brother Branham said, that man said, God, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, you're going to find a pile of bones sitting out here in wherever it was, a wood pile. Have you been that serious yet? If not, then maybe you need to start. Because like I said before, the days, there's two things you should not do in this church. Number one is misunderstand. Because we've been over it, June and I were talking, coming up the road. And Mama was saying last night at home, she said, I've heard this for 50 years. And Brother Dale hadn't changed. And Brother Claude always tells me, he said, it is scientifically proven that you have to listen to something 14 times before you can get it into your brain. 14 times. So I'm on sermon number 6. Brother Dale's been on sometimes 90 sermons, and he reviews and reviews. And you know why he reviews? It's like June said, well, maybe she didn't get it this time, but somebody else did. But a good pastor doesn't leave anybody behind. He knows what you need, and God knows what you need. Amen. So don't worry about if we're, see, I'm backgrounding this for 6 sermons. I'm backgrounding this same identical thing right here. But are we getting something a little bit extra every time? I'm even getting something a little bit extra every time. So like I said before, if the plan of redemption isn't more clear now than it ever has been in your life, you need to ask God to get you up that statue of a perfect man to where it says knowledge. Patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, all the different ones. As Brother Claude and I were talking about, he's preaching on the kinds of love, which is eros, and then the love for your husband and wife, and then you are for your brother and your sister and your mom and your daddy, and then the love for your wife. And then none of those even touch that love. That's what that love is, agape love. That agape love is way past, and it's not that good sloppy stuff that we like. You know, huggy, kissy, sweetie, no. Brother Branham always said love is corrective. Amen. Foreknowledge. Everybody got foreknowledge?
Amen.
You should. But like I said before, we're going to go over it again. Number 3. We're going to let Brother Branham explain it right here. He explains stuff a lot better than we do. The word predestinate, that's not a good word to use. The word foreknowledge is better. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destination, but God not making set in order a little hole that you have to go through, and you can't go no other way. That's not the way he did it. But God, in order to be God, he knowed the end from the beginning. How about a God that even the prophet said he knew how many fleas that God would make that ever be on this earth, and how many times it bat its little bitty eye? You can't even see a flea. And he's got an eyeball. And he's got tallow, that stuff, that matter that gets inside of you. He knows even how much that would... How can we understand him? But Brother Luis, he give us a way to understand what we need. He gave us a way to understand. I don't have to understand how many times a gnat bats his eye, but I know the guy that does. Amen? I know the guy that does know. Google ain't got nothing on God. Nah. Way before Google ever even got started, God was already doing it himself. He's got all the information we need. All we got to do is pull it up in his Bible, pull it up in the prophet's message. Number 4, questions and answers. This is the one we were talking about. And listen, we're not trying to be different, but we are different. I know some of the ministers that are here, I'm just going to say it, they probably had a little problem when they first got here about, because all you hear, everywhere you go, is you always was eternal. You had this eternal seed in you. All you need to do was realize the message was right. All you had to do is realize, you know, hear the mother eagle crying. You're all, you know, that, not even going through justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost. And you hear that so much prevalent in the message, and then you come here, and we're not trying to disprove that. I believe that, but you got to put it in its right condition.
Amen.
You got to put it in its right way. If you are born again tonight, you that I'm looking at, not was not always eternal. That thing inside of you that you accepted on the day you got born again, that is eternal. And it's working its way out through the plan of redemption. Don't ever, the prophet of God said, I'll bring the quote maybe next Sunday. He said, never forget that word, redemption. How can I take a cuckoo and make a grain of wheat? Oh, brother, wait, I always was wheat. Well, I'm going to read you a quote, and you argue with Brother Brown. Okay? We've read this before. I got like 7 quotes on this. I just picked a few. How can I take a cuckoo and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. You can't save your children.
Right.
But I know somebody can.
Amen.
I know somebody can. And look, it's impossible for me and you, but what did the angel say to Mary? He said, with God, all things are possible. So I know somebody that's got a possible, not an impossible. You know, if you ever take something to God and say it's impossible, he's like, you're asking the wrong guy. Ask the devil. He thinks that stuff's impossible. He said, ain't nothing impossible to God. The only way it can be is because inside that cuckoo has been transmitted. There's something got to happen. Something's got to break a dimension. Something's got to come down into this dimension and break this thing up that you and I are living under, this time, life, and matter. Because this life that we're living down here is going to go away. But eternal life has to come from somewhere and come inside of you. Then the Bible says we're what? Sitting together in heavenly places. It takes us right back up to that 7th dimension where God is. We just can't see him with our natural eyes. And we'll talk to that about that in a little bit. The only way it can be is because inside the cuckoo has been transmitted from a cuckoo, wheat, a cuckoo, to a germ called wheat germ. Now that cuckoo always wasn't a wheat. The cuckoo not always was a wheat. Right? Plant a cuckoo without anything. You plant a cuckoo, it brings up cuckoo. But Brother Branham is talking about by the power. He preached a sermon, the power of transformation. That transforms you from a cuckoo to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that cuckoo, it'll produce what? A grain of wheat. Because there has been a life of wheat put in the cuckoo. And the life of the cuckoo has been taken out. But the nature of the cuckoo is still sticky. Now, Brother Brown's talking about that second realm, the spirit realm. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Everybody got that? But the nature of the cuckoo is still sticky. And it will be until this new life has been fully been... Let me quote that right. And it will be until this new life has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up again. When it comes forth, then it's no more cuckoo, but wheat. But wheat. But while it's here on earth and out of the earth and a cuckoo, it's still sticky. But it's got the nature on the inside of it of wheat.
Amen.
As long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature. Now, we know that. But remember, that thing that's inside of you, that in that soul, is not sticky. That's God. That's the Genesis 1:26. That's the seed of God. That's the theophany of God. If I'd have said that in most churches, they'd be shouting. Y'all are sleeping. If this don't excite you, you know, ain't nothing. We can't, like Brother Claude and I were talking about, he watched a preacher online. He said, that preacher, we got them people all worked up and emotional, and they wasn't even listening to what he was saying. I'd rather you sit there and listen and not say nothing. But now not with your eyes closed. Because you're not listening then. Okay. But look. It's going to bother you as long as you live. We know that. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. That's the thing. Brother Brown said, that's the thing. Let's go to the next one now. Number 5, and the seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, 1961. But that's what we are. Like we are now a wheat, a grain of wheat in God's garner when we was a cuckoo. And I'm going to say this one more time. I know I'm a cuckoo. I know where it's at. I was Kuckabur through and through when I was out in the world. I was born a Kuckabur. Even though come through godly parents, it had to come through permissive will for me to get here. And then God gives me a soul. When God gives me a soul, that soul's perfect. Until the day God starts recording my choices, the age of accountability, my soul is perfect. And I will go to heaven if I die during that time. All babies go to heaven, Brother Brown said, right? Because they're not judged. They can't be judged by that. But when you come up, kids, when you know right from wrong, when you know to turn your head, when you know not to walk in where you used to go, like I said before, you could go take a bath with a five-year-old, two five-year-old men, boy and a girl, and now you can't do that. Why? Because your mind starts thinking. When your mind starts thinking, your body starts reacting. I don't know why I'm getting on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Be careful, because you're a cuckabur through and through. And listen, when you put two cuckaburs together, take that any way you want to. That's why the prophet of God, and I'm telling you, if you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, though, you're wheat. You have the nature of the wheat inside of you. And you have a more of a moral rudder. You don't have, I mean, you should have a moral rudder not to cheat, steal, lie, and run around and all these things. But you still got that bad nature. But when you get that thing inside of you that's born again, it will steer you in the right direction. Amen. Now, most of you that's lived life like I've lived, you'll say, amen. But what does God do? He takes that cuckabur nature. Listen, he doesn't kill you, the person. He likes who you are.
That's right.
Or he wouldn't have made you.
That's exactly right.
But he knows that you'll want that new birth, and he'll know that thing, you'll yield to it one day. And he'll come in, and what will he do? Not kill your old soul, but burn that old nature off of it. That cuckabur will get burnt out, and a germ of the life of God will be put in. God's so simple. Not that it always was there. It always was in God's mind. It always was in the Bible. They didn't have to write a different Bible when I got born again. I got born again out of the same Bible.
Amen.
I got born again out of the same Bible that Luther got born again out of. Amen. That Wesley got born again. Columba, Martin, Irenaeus.
Amen.
Same Bible.
Amen.
Same Word of God.
Yes.
And God changed us from a cuckabur to a grain of wheat. It makes the fruits different. Changing your own mind. Your own ideas. It's the greatest miracle that ever happened. You talking about miracles of raising the dead? What about raising somebody to newness of life? What about raising somebody to a eternal life that Satan can't ever take your regular life anymore? Oh yeah, this one may drop off, but where are you going to go? You're going to step in that sixth dimension. You're going to step right back up, pick that body up. You're going to come back in a young kid. And Satan's not going to have nothing to do with that. It's the greatest miracle that ever happened when a man or woman is born again of the Spirit of God. And becomes a what? New. What's new? New creation. Something different.
Right.
Your thinking changed.
Right.
I love that. Come on, people. Goodness gracious. This plan of redemption excites me because it's not just, I always was this great something. But you know what I was thinking yesterday? Though now, if you stand in a place to where you look and you see that you are born again and you know that God's working through your life and you know you have a purpose on the earth. I can now look back and sit and say, thank you, Papa God, that I was in your mind. I was there before the foundation of the world. I was in your thinking. You thought of me way before I thought of you. And now I'm down here. And you know what all he wants to do? Manifest what was up there. Real simple. And then we have to look at representation, because that's where it comes from. Because remember, the little woman at the well had representation way down in her. What? In what she had. The words she had. We know that when Messiah comes. And see, she was looking for this to be made flesh. She wasn't just wandering around with a pot on her shoulder and going to husband number six and just, no. Something down inside of her actually really was there. that sounded off when the word met what she had read. And she was looking for that. But remember, he came looking for her. He said, I must needs go by Samaria. Right? Brother Brown even tells you, he said, well, the apostles probably thought he was going to go buy some groceries or something. Why do we need to go by Samaria? Because it ain't him on the way. He said, I must needs go by Samaria. Why? He knew by foreknowledge before the foundation of the world. He knew where she'd be standing. He knew she'd want what he had. He knew. Now, I'm not going to do that no more. But she had representation. He saw what she would do. He saw your response. You had more than five husbands yourself. You was married to everything in the world. Now, if you wasn't, then I apologize. But most of us were. But see what I mean? This eternal plan of redemption cannot change. But when we attach ourselves to it, it ought to make us shout, just like Job said, where were you, Job? What was God doing? He, by foreknowledge in his mind, it wasn't us, his people, but it was the attribute of somebody loving what he did. Loving and knowing that his children were going to come. We're going to read it in Psalms. There's no way we couldn't have come except by the way Psalm says, in continuous was our fashion, as yet there was none of us. Listen, God knew the children of Israel would all die except for Joshua and Caleb and all them little people that grew up under Joshua and Caleb. He knew the rest of them people was going to die. Yet he fed them every day. He clothed them every day. He gave them a light by day and a light by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He took care of them. He kept telling them, when you get in the promised land, this is what you're going to do. They sinned 10 times. About time 7 or 8, I would have just said, forget it. But he kept saying, Brother John, he said, when you get in the promised land, do this. When you get in the promised land, do that. When you get in the promised land, God wasn't worried about it because by foreknowledge, he saw. He knew that somebody would make it to the promised land. Is everybody all right? But this woman had nothing to present. She was filthy and dirty. But she had heard the word. And God knew that she would respond because Brother Bram said, when the word met the word. What? The word down inside of her. Same way with me and you. Then she was looking for this to be made flesh. So she had representation. I took the other quote out, but she had representation from predestination. Alright? To me, that's very simple. And remember, she didn't receive eternal life right then because there was none to give, folks. I hope you see that. That only on the day of Pentecost did God come back and release his life. So that Genesis 1:26 man couldn't be bottled up anymore in a man called Jesus Christ. When that life was released, when he come out of that tomb and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Brother Brown said he could have just took it right on back and not give it to nobody. But he come back on the day of Pentecost and give it all back to the bride. Amen? Amen? And that wasn't my job, that was his. It's my job to believe it. Like we're going to see in just a few minutes, we're going to see that in these dimensions, we have see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And Brother Brown says, every one of them can be deceived and tricked. But one cannot. The sixth sense of faith cannot be tricked. And it cannot be taken away from you either. So look, here's this Melchizedek, number 7. Really quick here. But I like these quotes because it really solidifies. Here it is, 1965. Brother Brown has not changed his way of preaching. He's just preached a future home. On the future home, he said, thank God I've preached these three steps of grace from a child, justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. Now we see the attribute, sons of his spirit, have not yet entered into the word form body. Now listen, you got to be careful. We have a word form body inside of us. That's what's developing and it's forming inside. He's talking about the people he's looking at. Because that body come from mom and daddy. A germ, a sperm, and an egg got together, put it in a warm place, and you came. But God still had to give you the soul. So you have not yet entered into the word formed body, but a theophany. This body is subject to the word and earnest waiting for the earnest change of the body. We're all subject to the word. If you're born again, you're subject to the word of God. But you know what? You're also subject to the word if you're not born again, because you get the condemnation part. If you're not subject to the word of God inside of you tonight, you're going to judgment and you're going to have to stand in front of the word and you're going to have to give an account of what you did, not what God did. Now, the difference between him and you as a son, he was at the beginning the word. He could stand and say, before Abraham was, I am. John said, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was made flesh. All right, everybody got that? So he was word before he was human flesh. We ought to understand, well, I know that. Because Brother Brown talks us, he talks on Genesis 1:26. He said that was a word body, a theophany, so he could speak. And even they tell him in the new old, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John still in the Old Testament, okay? But in the New Testament, in your book, Jesus says, somebody says, well, you're the creator God. We know that inside of you is the guy that created all things. Now, the difference between him and you as a son, he was at the beginning of the word in a morphe body. Because remember, we didn't come here the word. He came here exactly the way the word said. But remember, you and I came exactly the word said, the way the word said too. We just came wrong. And had to be by transforming power. Listen, Jesus didn't need a new birth. Why did he not say he should have walked up Nicodemus? He said, now Nicodemus, me and you need to be born again. No, he looked at Nicodemus and he said, you need a new birth. And I hope that's what he's saying by the word tonight. You need a new birth. And if there's anything inside of you, if you've heard the word and it's quickened in your life, the word meets the word. And then you become as the woman at the well. There you have the potential of going to the upper room and receiving the Holy Ghost. Your own upper room. Amen? We all have to have an upper room experience. It doesn't matter where you at. Right? You have to have an upper room experience. You didn't see the lick of fire maybe, but if you could see in another dimension, you could see it. Because that thing was coming down through the dimension into this dimension, and there was licks of fire. Oh, I want to get on that. I've been looking at sound barrier. Brother Brown talks about them birds out there in Arizona breaking the sound barrier. And what comes with a sound barrier? A cloud. Thunder and a cloud always comes with breaking the sound barrier. And the sound barrier is moving faster than the speed of sound. We'll get into that. Just give you a little tidbit. Maybe you'll stay awake another 15 minutes. Then later we never heard no more Melchizedek, because what? He morphed from Melchizedek, which was, we know that was Jesus Christ. Theophany Jesus Christ. Not flesh Jesus Christ. All he done was just slow down into this dimension. As Brother Aaron always says, he just picked up some dust and just went, and it just formed all around his body. Did it for the other two angels, and they come walking down into this dimension. Later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because it became Jesus Christ. What? Brother Bram said Melchizedek just disappeared. Went into this dimension, stepped right out, left the dust there, and just stepped right back into another dimension until one day you heard, wah! A baby was born. Now, theophany was made flesh. Then later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. What? The high priest. Melchizedek could not be touched by the feeling of your infirmity. He never looked at Abraham and said, I know how you feel. No, he looked at Abraham and he said, you're going to have a baby. And you're going to have it through Sarah. And you're going to have it in the time of life. I'll visit you. He was telling him, prophesying of what was to come. Now you bypassed that. What? You didn't come here with eternal life in you. Hello? He did.
Amen.
Because he was the chosen one. He was God himself. But he came in human flesh. You and I just came in human flesh. And got a soul that was perfect. You bypass that, what? You come around it. Because in that form, he knowed all things, and you never been able to know that yet. Oh, what about a time, though, when we get over there? What about a time even in the millennium? What about a time even during the future home? I mean, not even the future home, the wedding supper. Brother John, we're limitless. We're not limited by anything. This has been made eternal. This has been made eternal. We've already got eternal life. Man, it just explodes. And you'll know all things. But you'll not remember the bad. Because the Bible says the former things will be passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You came like Adam, like me. You come from attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if it's earth, the tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the word. That we can look back and see what we've done. Then we can look back. That's what we're doing now. Now we don't understand it. We have never become, in other words, we haven't become all the Word. You understand everything the Word says? No. You don't as humanity, because you're right here now. Some of you are asleep. You can't understand what's going on if you're asleep. Then you can look back and see what we've done. But we don't understand it. We never become the Word. We just become the flesh man, not the Word. But look. But and look clearly makes it clear. You will never be the Word, though, unless you was a thought at the beginning. Very simple. That proves the predestination for knowledge of God, see? You can't be the Word unless you're a thought. You had to be in the thinking first. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to realize you were lost. You had to realize you came the wrong way. You had to realize that you were doomed and on your way to hell. You had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. And then if you stand, all the Father's given me will come to me and I'll raise him up in the last day. See, you had to be first. In other words, you had to come here first and realize who you were. You had to realize you were lost. Listen. You didn't realize you always was eternal, I hope. When you first started growing up and you started doing the things that all people do, you didn't just up one day and say, whoop, I'm eternal. But listen though, God did. God did. And he was just waiting on a time when you would strike that image that he saw by foreknowledge. And then the Word did meet the Word. And you become the theophany of God, not of your parents. Because your parents didn't give you a soul anyway. God gave you a soul. That's right. Satan didn't give you a soul. That's where the two soul people are wrong. A soul. Listen, a soul is so precious. It's worth how much? How much, brother? 10,000 worlds. One soul is worth 10,000 of these earths. And if you're eternal, you're worth way more than that. And then you see, he come right down the regular line from attribute before the foundation of the world. His name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he become the Word, the theophany, that could appear and disappear. Then he became flesh and returned back. You know he's talking about Jesus Christ, and his name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. He was there. It was him. Resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany. What? The Genesis 1:26 man. That's what you bypass. You did not come here as an eternal child of God. You come around that to be a child of Samuel and Peggy Dale, but with a ability. You know, if you bypass something and go around it, but remember, it's still there. The city is still there. You got to go back and get in the city. But God help me. God help you to realize that we became flesh man first to be tempted by sin, and then if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved. Now, Brother Brown's quoting scripture. We have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. This body in subjection to God. Everybody all right?
Amen.
All right, God's power to transform. Keep going. That's good. Sons and daughters was in God at the beginning. Amen? That Genesis 1:26, man. Now look, you've got eternal life, you say. We believe that we got eternal life. Well, there is only one form of eternal life, and that's God. And that's the only thing that eternal is God. Then if you've got eternal life, you're a possessor.
Right.
If you have eternal life, that life that's in you always was, and you were in the loins of God before there was even a world, and when the Word itself, Jesus himself is called the Word, St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, Word was God, and Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and you were in the loins of Jesus, went to Calvary with him, you died with him. See, that's why the Bible says if you're chosen in him, that's what you've already went through.
Right.
Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in him. Then you were in the loins of Jesus. You went to Calvary with him. You died with him. You raised with him. And today, we're sitting in heavenly places in him, filled with his Spirit, sons and daughters of God, died with him, raised with him. Sure.
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 139 verse 15 says, my substance was not hid from thee. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? He's talking to God. David talking to God. Under the inspiration. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. When your mom and daddy got together. You were foreordained. Because God knew you'd be here. In the lowest parts of the earth. All of us came from that part. We didn't come from the high part. We come from the low part. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect. He knew we were going to come here unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Revelations 13:8. Written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. Your name was already written in the book. And we were put here to show the devil that our names was already written in the book.
Right.
Amen?
Exactly.
Pretty simple. All right, so everybody got that. So I'm not negating that you don't have eternal life. If you have eternal life tonight, that always was eternal.
Amen.
I agree 100%, but I believe you had to go through a plan of redemption. A plan of grace, a three-step process that everyone has to go through. I don't care if it's Luther, Wesley, William, Marion, Branham. Listen, he couldn't have taught it if he didn't go through it. He couldn't have taught it. You and I, that's what I said before, if you can't take your life through those three steps, you don't have the new birth. I'm just going to be plain. You're just not born again. If you can't know, you know where you were justified. You know where you were sanctified. And you knew when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the whole difference in the way we preach it is what everybody else preaches. That gives you all the ability to go up that statue of perfect man. But you got to be sanctified every day. You got to be justified. You got to keep getting filled with the Holy Ghost. You gotta keep wanting more of God. You gotta keep wanting to be more like God. But God saw who would and who wouldn't. They told Brother Branham, they said, Brother Branham, if you teach this like you're teaching, why in the world are you even preaching? What'd he say? He said, I don't know who's saved and who's not. What'd he say, Brother Luis? He said, I throw the net out every Sunday and I draw the net in. He said, I get spiders and snakes. And all kinds of things. He says, but there's some fish in there somewhere. I do catch a few fish, he said. So that's what we're doing. We're fishing. Didn't God tell us to be fishers of men? Amen. We're not fishing for fish anymore. We're fishing for men. All right, so let's go and let's look at these dimensions. And I want to prove to you in the Bible that when you pass from this life, just to make sure, because I'll bring it maybe next Sunday or maybe the Sunday after, where Brother Brown says he doesn't believe in transmigration or swapping or moving of souls. And I'll read the quote, and I don't either. I don't believe my soul can go in Brother Boyd, and I don't believe his can go into mine. I don't believe my soul can go into an animal. And I don't believe my soul can go into the fifth or sixth dimension and then come back into this one. Not until things happen. Is everybody okay with that? So, you know, if you saw your grandma walking through your yard, I don't know. I don't know. I said I don't know. That's what I meant. I don't know. Because you look at these paranormal things and all these different, and then you look where Brother Brown says he was in Tucson the other day, and remember the woman hit the man? Throwed him up in the air. He comes back down and several people witnessed it. The car hit it. Couldn't find a man. To me, leave it alone. Look, but Abraham said, son, now remember, Abraham's dead by the time Luke's been written, right? And the rich young ruler has already passed away also. Everybody got that? But Abraham said, son, remember that in thy lifetime, receivest thy good things. Abraham is in this dimension, whatever dimension Abraham's in, he's stuck right there. He can't go anywhere but he's telling that guy that's in another one, he's going, don't you remember what happened back over here in thy lifetime? Right. Receivest thou good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot.
Right.
Remember the rich young ruler is looking at Abraham or looking at Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham and saying, hey, can you come over here and help me? Right? And Abraham is telling them, you can't go. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, there's none of this going on.
Right.
You're stuck in whatever dimension you're in. So these dimensions are real.
Right.
And the Bible's proven that it's real because the rich young ruler is burning in hell, in torment, and he's asking for some water from Lazarus who is in the bosom of Abraham. Everybody got that?
Right.
Then what does the rich young ruler say? It shows you that you don't lose your senses. Your senses go with you over there because he said, oh, go and tell my brothers not to come to this place.
Right.
What about that? Right there in the Bible. But it took a prophet to separate all these dimensions out.
Right.
Amen? Now let's go to the next one down here. The dimensions, according to Brother Branham, are light, time, and matter. And we look at these. You look at your chart, and that's what you and I live in. And we were given see, taste, feel, smell, and hear to contact the first three dimensions. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Right.
All right. So what happens now is this. Let me read. I'm going to read this right here, this quote where Brother Brown says, look, they don't have it. They can leave it right there. Yeah, I'm going to read that one. That's right. Good job. Now, when we come along, we remember that we live here in three dimensions. And I don't know whether I can name them or not. One of them is light. The other is matter. Tommy, you remember what the third is. Someone says something. Huh? Adam? No. Someone says time. Time, right. Now, light, time, and matter. Or light, matter, and time. And our five senses contact them dimensions. Our sight contacts light. Our feeling contacts matter. And so forth. Everybody got that now?
Right.
Now, we know one thing's for sure. Before there was a fall, because we know, and I'll bring the quote next Sunday, Brother Brown says that there was no time. Now, remember, be careful with that. There was no time, but yet there was already light. And there was already day and night. Remember, he caused the moon to shine in the night and the sun to shine in the day. But now, remember, that light right there is not the sun and the moon. That's that light we were talking about that just blew everything up and lit everything. To me, the light of God. But what happened was, though, and I'll bring you another quote where Brother Branham says that when Adam did what he did, he said his soul became dim. In other words, there was a cloud put over him where he couldn't see back into that other dimension. And I'll read another one right here. It says, dimensions in which we live in that are contacted by our five senses. This is a slower dimension than the others that are not seen. You know why they're slower? Because the fourth dimension you can't see. You can see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You can see light. You can feel matter. And we definitely know we in time. Everybody got that? But now look, when we get into that fourth dimension, I want you to remember, though, that we are influenced by that fourth dimension. Now, the fifth dimension and sixth dimension is where people go and they're held. Right? So we're not influenced by that. We're influenced by the fourth dimension. And we'll really cover that fourth dimension. But look what happens when God talks to Adam and he says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam's like, I'm hiding. I don't know if I want to be around you or not right now. Well, now what's happening is God is doing what? He's withdrawing himself. He said, I'll put enmity. I won't talk to you like I used to talk to you, but I'm not going to leave you, Adam. I can't come down. I can't, this too, there's sin now. I gotta make this sacrifice to cover or capo your blood, the blood of the animal to cover your sin. But watch this. Let me read this right here real quick. Look here, friends. Let me give you this illustration. I might have done it before. What color is that shirt? What color is my shirt? Blue. All right. Everybody got that? But now listen, what if you ask a blind man what color my shirt is? Anybody in here colorblind? Luis is a little bit colorblind and bless your heart. But there are certain colors they can't see. Why? Why? It's because something in your eyes. Not something in your soul. You're not. It's not something wrong with you. You just got a deficiency. Well, watch this. I'll show you in just a minute. I might have done it before. What color is this shirt? It's white. Anyone that's got sight knows this shirt's white. You have five senses of the body. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now, none of these senses will declare God. Now, remember, though, Brother Branham said God put Adam in flesh in five senses to contact the earth. But see, in my belief, I can't find a quote, and it's not in the Bible, but Adam was ruled by the sixth sense of faith. Because he can move mountains, he can move trees, he could change the weather, he could travel through any dimension he wanted to. How do you think he ruled the whole world? He didn't stand in one place. He was all over the place. But what happened was, though, is when sin was committed, what did it do? It limited him to where he's at. In other words, this became solid. Time became his killer. Because the Bible says Adam lived 950-something years, and he died. Time was not before that, though. God never told them they was going to die until they did what they did. Amen? And they still had the five senses. Like I said before, you're not going to lose your five senses ever again when you go into the other dimension. You're not going to lose your see, taste, feel, smell, and hair. I just proved that to you. Abraham was looking at the rich young ruler and said, and was talking to him and said, we can't go over there and you can't come over here. What happened to Samuel the prophet? He was called up by the witch of Endor. What happened? He still had his robe on, still was prophesying, still was looking the way he looked because the witch of Endor said, I brought Samuel up. Well, he looked just like he did. But now remember, here's your key. That was under the Old Testament. He looked like he did when he died. He wasn't a young man. Why? Because he wasn't born again. He didn't have that. The only thing that's going to change your body back is that Genesis 1:26, man. Now they will get changed. You understand what I'm saying? We're not leaving them out. But he came up the same way he died. Because he was in what? The bosom of Abraham or in paradise. And we'll cover that, what Brother Brown says about that. When God made man, he made him in his image instead of man's. And he put him in five senses to contact his earthly home, not to contact God with. Those senses don't declare God.
Right.
Now, God uses them, but who else uses them too? The devil uses them too. They declare, why? Because it's, you steal a cuckoo. Here. They declare the earthly home, where the man had to contact his earthly home. He had to see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what things not seen. You do not see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, or hear it, but you believe it. See what I mean? You see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now let's go to the statue of perfect man, because I want to cover this real quick. And watch what happens. Now we all know this is where the prophet of God created squirrels, or he called the squirrels to come into existence. But there had to something. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. This instance, he was writing the statue of a perfect man. He was writing that down on a piece of paper that he had not written before. Sorry. But watch what happened. So for days before we have the service, I constantly pray, go to the woods, take in my pocket, tell the wife I'm going squirrel hunting this morning, put a pencil and a paper in my pocket. As soon as it gets light enough, I'm sitting against a tree somewhere, hands up in the air and say, Lord, what can I do today? What will you give me for your children? Now remember, God, we know God comes into this dimension and he influences us. But what about his presence? Because there stood Brother Branham in a prayer line. He was standing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe a adopted son of God. And he still had to wait on that presence to come there. Because that was a different presence. That was something else working. This is a different, watch what this. But watch how it got there. This is my whole point. Watch how it got there. And we'll look at how the first three dimensions are so much slower. And then we'll talk about next, we'll close right there and we'll talk about, the speed of sound next Sunday. Then when I strike something that seems to burn down, comes something like when his presence gets near, I begin to hear something like way off in the distance, something in the order. Now, if you've heard this tape, Sister Cleta can probably tell you exactly what he says. 2 times 2 equals 4. Then the next time he says closer, 2 times 2 equals 4. Then 2 times 2 equals 4. Two times, and he gets faster with his 2 times 2 equals 4. Brother Brown speaks, each repeats a little faster. Well, they told you right there. But I'm sure Sister Cleta can do the same thing. On and on and on like that. It's his presence coming in. It wasn't there at the time. It was coming in, but what was it doing? It was coming faster into this dimension. Because when you will look next Sunday, when Brother Brown talks about the birds, and the little birds and the bigger birds and the angels, he said they came from eternity so fast into this dimension. Yield yourself, and after a while you break away from yourself. There comes the vision. Go to such and such place. Now remember, visions do not come from this dimension. Even television, you can't get it in the first three dimensions. It has to be a fourth dimension thing. It has to break into another dimension and you can see it. So the prophet of God has to wait on that thing to come out of fast, out of eternity, slow down enough to where he gets there, where he's at, and then what? There comes the vision. Go to such and such a place, such and such a thing. Starts off from meditating your mind on God, out of the world, away from the world, out in the wilderness to yourself. And watch. And it starts coming. One, and he keeps doing it. One number, anything, just something starts gradually, faintly coming in. Then it comes faster and faster. What? It's coming from a faster dimension. Into this one. So we're in the slowest dimension. Listen, you're in the slowest dimension you'll ever be in. Then it comes faster, faster. You sit there and raise up your hands. Don't say a word. Just hold your hands in the air. First thing you know, your whole being is caught away. Then you see things that he wants you to know, showing you things that is to come. How about that? He's standing in life and time and matter. And then here comes something, a presence from another dimension. into this dimension. Slows itself down enough so he can talk to a prophet. But you know what, though? How many times have you heard musicians come? We'll stop right there. How many times have you heard, though, that that presence would come to him and he'd say, I spent all day searching the scripture. Because he wanted to make sure that that presence wasn't coming from somebody else. Because the devil, I promise you, the devil has got a presence also. He will present himself just like God. But he can't be on the Word. He can't be the Word of God. So the first three dimensions, life, time, and matter, we'll start on them Sunday. But that's where you and I live. And we're given five senses to contact our earthly home, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And they can all be tricked. They can all be tricked except one, and that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see. Do you have to see your healing to get it? I thought you had to believe it to see it, not see it to believe it. Because if you see it, you don't have to believe it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, bringing it into this dimension. Listen, when you get a revelation, it's not from this dimension. Because Satan is prevalent in this dimension to give you his revelation. But when God comes, why did the prophet have to explain that God, the presence, had to come into his dimension? Right? But now we're going to see in just a little while, though, next Sunday, where that he was taken into another dimension. Remember, he went in the sixth dimension. He was taken into another dimension that was much faster than this one, but he looked back and saw his body because his body couldn't go with him. It was that one inside of him is what went. His theophany was what went. His body stayed down there. So we'll get into it a little bit next Sunday, but let's stand to our feet. God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. There's just a lot that we can cover. Talking about eternal redemption. I don't want to leave anybody out or leave anybody behind. But we need to understand these things so that there's not questions in our mind. But we know one thing's for sure. We live in this dimension. Lifetime and matter. But we are reacted by other dimensions. Remember, I already told you, the fourth dimension's running right through here right now. There's every website. There's pictures of you don't want to see. There's conversations of men and women and men and men that you don't want to hear going right through this room right now. And you can receive it, but you got to have something to receive it with. You got to have a phone. You got to have an iPad. You got to have you got to have a piece of equipment. And I believe God's equipped me and you to hear from him. Let's sing a song.
Bless your name.
Let's sing a song, then we'll be dismissed. Prison chain with bleeding stride, Paul and Silas. Just think about your prayer. Your prayer has to go into another dimension. Your prayer has to break those sound barriers and go into another dimension. So that God can hear your prayer.
To sing, their chains were loose.
Think about him now.
And they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Every time God spoke, there was thunder. But there was a voice behind that thunder. Because it broke the sound barrier and came from this other dimension into the dimension that you and I are in now. And I believe that's what happened when the seals broke. This dimension was broke and there was thunders that sounded was the voice of God giving a message, not to William Branham, but through William Branham to the bride.
If you should find you're in a prison,
think about it.
Sun in your mind,
all them demons talking to you from another dimension.
Reach out and pray.
Did defy what they say. Defy it. Stand up against it.
They will fall in Jesus' name.
Sing it to him.
Oh, I bless your name. I bless your name.
Think about him.
Oh, I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
Sing a chorus to him again.
I bless your name.
We bless your name.
We bless your name.
Think about him.
We bless.
Because the name of Jesus Christ will do away with everything you need.
You are the light, the truth.
Lord, you know where this is going. You know what, Lord, our brother needs, and we pray that you bless him now in Jesus' name, Lord.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
I bless your name.
Think about him now. Here we are. We're standing in the
bless
end time.
Bless your name.
And we understand all these things now more than anybody ever. But let's not make it just head knowledge. Let's let it go down here where we can stand in front of the devil and say, take your hands off of that. That's my child. That's my husband. That's my wife. That's my friend. That's my family. Satan, you don't have a right to that. Oh, you just wait and let it thunder sometime. Your voice will be heard over everything that goes on in heaven. Everything. God will hear you before he'll hear anything else. Not an angel. No one else. He'll hear your prayer and your voice. Be sincere when you pray. Call a name. That's what I've been doing. I've been calling name and calling full names. Because, you know, if I say just pray for Brother John, it may be 100 Brother John. But I say Brother John Durrett. I say Brother Homer Longoria. I call the names of those people because it means something. You love the Lord? You each one take this and realize that you were predestinated, foreordained before the foundation of the world. But remember, everybody is. But you make sure you were predestinated by foreknowledge in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And your name was placed on that book before the foundation of the world. Yeah, you can realize that. And it gives you whatever fear there is in this world. That ought to take the fear out of that anyway. To know that you're a son and daughter of God. Sing it one more time.
Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We give you all.
Think of the people that he saved just in this building. And Lord, that ought to be enough honor and praise.
You are the light.
To make you happy.
The truth,
the way. Eternity has come into this building.
Bless your name.
And has come into your life and my life.
We bless your
God bless you.
Name. I bless your name.
As we sing this,
I bless your name.
You're dismissed. God, go with God. Communion, Sunday afternoon after second service. We'll have two services just like usual. Pray for each one.